You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Get the freshest Cleveland Browns gear by visiting the team shop at First Energy Stadium or shop on the official Browns mobile app. Also, don't miss the new Dog Pound t-shirts with a limited run only at the team shop at First Energy Stadium. We're going to give you now a little bit of a glimpse into Mike Pettine's press conference from earlier today.
To start off, since I'm not going to see you guys tomorrow, a fact that I believe is mutually beneficial. Just want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, obviously to you and your families. A lot to be thankful for, and it's important for us to stop and think about it. You know, we're reminded the team as well. But also want to give some credit to our players and community relations staff that were out yesterday working with the Greater Cleveland Food Bank. I know through our collective efforts, able to supply, I think it was about 80,000 meals through the holiday season. And one of our, obviously one of the organizational initiatives is to inspire people to give back. And I thought it was important to open with that just on the eve of a holiday. As far as the game this week, you know, the challenge, it you know, each game it grows with importance based on where we are, and this is no different. It's going to take another total team effort for us to achieve what we want to get done. Very resilient team. I was able to experience it firsthand being there last year. So it was no surprise that they were able to go and do what they did in Detroit with all the circumstances that they had stacked against them, not being able to practice and just the limitations on travel and just kind of that, you know, the state of emergency that entire area was in. So I know a lot of guys on that staff and know a lot of the players and, you know, the character, the integrity, the toughness. So it really wasn't a surprise to see them do what they did on Monday night. So I know heading back into Ralph Wilson, I don't necessarily think I'm going to get the warmest reception. I think Dante might, they might greet Dante maybe a little bit worse than me, kind of knowing the history there. But it's a great crowd. It'll be hostile, and it'll be some tough circumstances certainly for our offense to perform. We're going against what a lot of people consider the best front four in football. All you got to do is look at the sack numbers. But those aren't coming at the expense of rushing defense either. I mean, this team's top five against the run. They lead the league in sacks. And it's not a surprise knowing that group, whether it's Mario, whether it's Jerry Hughes. Kyle Williams is, to me, is one of the most underrated players of all time at his position. And then Marcell Dareus is playing at a very high level as well. You know, offensively, They've been very efficient. I think you know, Kyle Orton has done a good job for them. You just look at the interception to touchdown ratio. He's been very impressive. Makes a lot of good decisions. Gets the ball out fast, and it's a potent skill group. Whether it's the, you know, big tight end and Scott Chandler, the running backs are solid. I've always been a Fred Jackson fan, and then you look at just the deep group of wideouts. You know, Watkins, Robert Woods had a career game Monday night. Hogan's been playing well for him. Marquise Goodwin, we know, all has elite speed. So it will be a challenge. So this is a game where we got to make sure that, you know, it's a fine line with the preparation and the focus. We've seen both sides of it, but it's a game where we're going to have to come out and be on point in what we're doing. And handle the adversity, handle the crowd, handle their front, and hopefully we'll have a positive outcome.
Mike, do you feel good about your, I mean, the 1 year there? I mean, at the same time, you kind of, that was kind of an underachieving defense when you guys got there. There was some talent, but just happy with the way that you were able to kind of get that, turn that defense turned around. And now do you feel like, oh, what you've created there?
Well, I mean, the players essentially were there, and I'd like to think we got them obviously headed in the right direction. But no, I have nothing but fond memories of my time there. I mean, that was a, you know, a bittersweet deal to leave that defensive room, because we know that we were building something pretty special there with that front and the guys playing behind it. So it's you know, it's not a surprise that they were able to maintain it. I think in this league, people get wrapped up in scheme too much, and a lot of times it's players over scheme for the most part. So, but I'm looking forward to going back. I have a lot of good friends there, and we'll smile and shake hands before the game, and we'll want to beat each other's brains out during the game, and then, you know, be fine with it afterwards.
Kind of turn them loose a little bit? Were they restricted previously as a defense? Did you make them more aggressive?
I think they were doing some more when we went back and watched the 2012 tape. There was some more two-gapping involved with the defensive line. They were probably a little bit much more passive than we prefer to be up front, just kind of with the way they were teaching things. I think they're the type of player they have, they need to be in attack mode. There are some teams that are built, some players' skill sets that can be more of the two-gap and play flat down the line, whereas, I mean, that group is built to kind of get their tails up in the air and go straight ahead.
So are they playing more like under Schwartz? Are they playing more like they did under you guys?
Well, not schematically, but I think from an aggression standpoint of how they're playing their front and how they're rolling their guys off. I mean, they're at a four-man front most of the time. They probably, from a percentage of blitz standpoint, they're very low. I want to say most of their sack production, at least 75% of it has come from the front four. And coming out of New York, our blitz percentage was higher. Then when we got there as a staff, realized very quickly that we could rush four more and be more productive. So we tailored the scheme to fit more the front four and played more 4-3 than 3-4, given the group that we had. But like I said, it's not a big surprise the success that they're having, because they turned those guys loose.
And I know that of course, Kai Orton was not there last year. But who does it favor? You know their offense. And Doug Marrone knows your defense. So who has a leg up in that?
It's hard to tell. I still think it comes down to players making plays. I think there's some subtleties with what we know about their system, and they obviously have our playbook and every game plan that we did. But, I mean, that's hundreds of defensive calls that were all tailor-made to those specific situations. You know, we're only going to have 30-some calls up for this game. And to me, the fact that they know them doesn't necessarily mean we've changed a lot of our. When we came here, we hit the reset button and started at the beginning with it all again. So we changed a lot of the terminology and streamlined some of the things. So some of the information they have is old. Some of it still pertains, but it's still a matter of, I think a lot of times when you get wrapped up in that, it's too much information and it ends up hurting you. You start chasing ghosts.
Risk of oversimplifying, it seemed like Houston and Jacksonville's physical defensive line caused issues with your running game. How do these guys compare?
They're similar. That's why we know it's going to be a tall task force. That you know, we're hopeful, and hopefully we've learned some from those games, and that we've built a plan that we can still be effective running the football. I don't see us ever as being, hey, going into a game, we can't run it, we're going to have to throw it. That's just not how we are built, and we're going to have to be efficient. And if efficient means gaining 3.5 yards or 4 yards, then so be it. I'd love to be the most boring, winningest offense out there. So we just have to find a way to still be effective in the run game.
Mike, why did you guys like, as an organization, like Sammy Watkins so much pre-draft? And then can you talk about just the production he's had so far this year?
Yeah, he's. I think he's been as advertised. I know he's their leading receiver. He's got a bunch of touchdowns. I know he missed it. I think he missed some time with an injury earlier, or wasn't 100% for some games. But I think just overall, just the total package, just that his size, his speed, his catch radius, his explosiveness. I mean, what he was able to do with the ball after he caught it, he almost had a defensive mentality as an offensive player. And then to me, just getting around the kid and just kind of seeing his personality and how passionate he is about football and how important it is to him, and how like how much he wants to be great. I mean, you couldn't help but really, really like him.
That's head coach of the Cleveland Browns as the Browns return to work here on this Wednesday, getting ready for a Buffalo team. You know he respects that front four. That's going to be the critical matchup, how the Browns offensive line does against that front, because when you look at the Jacksonville and Houston losses, they did not win that battle at the point of attack. It's going to be important to do so this Sunday if they can get it done. When we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we're going to talk to our guy Sam. We're last chance to call your shot. Matt and I will call our shots, and we'll be joined by Nate Burleson, who sat down with Josh Gordon yesterday for a piece that will air on the NFL Network in its entirety tomorrow. We'll ask Nate about his time with Josh Gordon, Josh's comments about alienation, what Nate thinks about Josh Gordon's return last week, and much, much more. Former Brown, he was here during training camp. Very, very stylish man, and also a guy who knows the wide receiver position and knows great wide receivers very well, having played with both Randy Moss and Calvin Megatron Johnson, and now Josh Gordon as well. That's coming up when we return here on ESPN 850 WKNR.